Are atheists evil? If you are right to believe that religious faith offers the only real basis for morality, then atheists should be less moral than believers. In fact, they should be utterly immoral. Are they? Do members of atheist organizations in the United States commit more than their fair share of violent crimes? Do the members of the National Academy of Sciences, 93% of whom reject the idea of God, lie and cheat and steal with abandon? We can be reasonably confident that these groups are at least as well behaved as the general population. And yet, atheists are the most reviled minority in the United States. Polls indicate that being an atheist is a perfect impediment to running for high office in our country, while being black, a Muslim, or homosexual is not. Recently, crowds of thousands gathered throughout the Muslim world, burning European embassies, issuing threats, taking hostages, even killing people, in protest over 12 cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad that were first published in a Danish newspaper. When was the last atheist riot? Is there a newspaper anywhere on this earth that would hesitate to print cartoons about atheism for fear that its editors would be kidnapped or killed in reprisal? Christians like yourself invariably declare that monsters like Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, and Kim Il-sung spring from the womb of atheism. While it is true that such men are sometimes enemies of organized religion, they are never especially rational. And Hitler's atheism seems to have been seriously exaggerated. In a speech on April 12, 1922, Hitler said, "My feeling as a Christian points me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter. It points me to the man who once in loneliness, surrounded by a few followers, recognized these Jews for what they were and summoned men to fight against them, and who, God's truth, was greatest not as a sufferer, but as a fighter. In boundless love as a Christian and as a man, I read through the passage which tells us how the Lord at last rose in his might and seized the scourge to drive out of the temple the brood of vipers and adders. How terrific was his fight for the world against the Jewish poison. As a Christian, I have also a duty to my own people." In fact, the public pronouncements of these men are often delusional. On subjects as diverse as race, economics, national identity, the march of history, and the moral dangers of intellectualism. The problem with such tyrants is not that they reject the dogma of religion, but that they embrace other life-destroying myths. Most become the center of a quasi-religious personality cult, requiring the continual use of propaganda for its maintenance. There is a difference between propaganda and the honest dissemination of information that we, generally, expect from a liberal democracy. Tyrants who orchestrate genocides or who happily preside over the starvation of their own people also tend to be profoundly idiosyncratic men, not champions of reason. Kim Il-sung, for instance, demanded that his beds at his various dwellings be situated precisely 500 meters above sea level. His duvets had to be filled with the softest down imaginable. What is the softest down imaginable? It apparently comes from the chin of a sparrow. 700,000 sparrows were required to fill a single duvet. Given the profundity of his esoteric concerns, we might wonder how reasonable a man Kim Il-sung actually was. Consider the Holocaust. The anti-Semitism that built the Nazi death camps was a direct inheritance from medieval Christianity. For centuries, Christian Europeans had viewed the Jews as the worst species of heretics and attributed every societal ill to their continued presence among the faithful. While the hatred of Jews in Germany expressed itself in a predominantly secular way, its roots were religious, and the explicitly religious demonization of the Jews in Europe continued throughout the period. The Vatican itself perpetuated the blood libel in its newspapers as late as 1914. The blood libel, with respect to the Jews, consists of the false claim that Jews murder non-Jews in order to obtain their blood for use in religious rituals. This allegation is still widely believed throughout the Muslim world. And both Catholic and Protestant churches have a shameful record of complicity with the Nazi genocide. Auschwitz, the Soviet gulags, and the killing fields of Cambodia are not examples of what happens to people when they become too reasonable. To the contrary, these horrors testify to the dangers of political and racial dogmatism. It is time that Christians like yourself stop pretending that a rational rejection of your faith entails the blind embrace of atheism as a dogma. One need not accept anything on insufficient evidence to find the virgin birth of Jesus to be a preposterous idea. The problem with religion, as with Nazism, Stalinism, or any other totalitarian mythology, is the problem of dogma itself. I know of no society in human history that ever suffered because its people became too desirous of evidence in support of their core beliefs. While you believe that bringing an end to religion is an impossible goal, it is important to realize that much of the developed world has nearly accomplished it. Norway, Iceland, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Switzerland, Belgium, Japan, the Netherlands, Denmark, and the United Kingdom are among the least religious societies on Earth. According to the United Nations Human Development Report, 2005, they are also the healthiest, as indicated by life expectancy, adult literacy, per capita income, educational attainment, gender equality, homicide rate, and infant mortality. Insofar as there is a crime problem in Western Europe, it is largely the product of immigration. 70% of the inmates in France's jails, for instance, are Muslim. The Muslims of Western Europe are generally not atheists. Conversely, the 50 nations now ranked lowest in terms of the United Nations Human Development Index are unwaveringly religious. Other analyses paint the same picture. The United States is unique among wealthy democracies in its level of religious adherence. It is also uniquely beleaguered by high rates of homicide, abortion, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted disease, and infant mortality. The same comparison holds true within the United States itself. Southern and Midwestern states, characterized by the highest levels of religious literalism, are especially plagued by the above indicators of societal dysfunction, while the comparatively secular states of the Northeast conform to European norms. While political party affiliation in the United States is not a perfect indicator of religiosity, it is no secret that the red states are primarily red because of the overwhelming political influence of conservative Christians. If there were a strong correlation between Christian conservatism and societal health, we might expect to see some sign of it in red state America. We don't. Of the 25 cities with the lowest rates of violent crime, 62% are in blue states and 38% are in red states. Of the 25 most dangerous cities, 76% are in red states, 24% in blue states. In fact, 3 of the 5 most dangerous cities in the United States are in the pious state of Texas. The 12 states with the highest rates of burglary are red. 24 of the 29 states with the highest rates of theft are red. Of the 22 states with the highest rates of murder, 17 are red. Of course, correlational data of this sort do not resolve questions of causality. Belief in God may lead to societal dysfunction. Societal dysfunction may foster a belief in God. Each factor may enable the other, or both may spring from some deeper source of mischief. Leaving aside the issue of cause and effect, however, these statistics prove that atheism is compatible with the basic aspirations of a civil society. They also prove, conclusively, that widespread belief in God does not ensure a society's health. Countries with high levels of atheism are also the most charitable, both in terms of the percentage of their wealth they devote to social welfare programs and the percentage they give in aid to the developing world. The dubious link between Christian literalism and Christian values is belied by other indices of social equality. Consider the ratio of salaries paid to top-tier CEOs and those paid to the same firm's average employees. In Britain, it is 24 to 1. In France, 15 to 1. In Sweden, 13 to 1. In the United States, where 80% of the population expects to be called before God on Judgment Day, it is 475 to 1. Many a camel, it would seem, expects to pass easily through the eye of a needle.